continue to walk through Colossians together. This morning we're focusing on verses 21 and 22. Let's read verses 18 through 22. And he, that is Jesus, is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. Well, it was October 14th, 1984, Game 5 of the World Series. Detroit Tigers defeated the San Francisco Padres to win the World Series. But the good news of victory was quickly overshadowed by bad news as Detroit erupted into riots. One of the worst riots in sports history, as fans celebrated violently on the streets of Detroit, fanning out from Tiger Stadium. Fans with rocks and bottles confronted police in riot gear, overturning and burning a squad car, a taxi. The riot had many effects. There was a murder. There was a number of rapes. Some 80 were injured. Millions of dollars of property destruction, and there was the reputational effect. Detroit, for decades, became synonymous, or shall we say, continued to be synonymous with wanton, wasteful violence. So what did the riot do? What were its bad effects? Well, it was not just one thing. There was effects on people. There was effects on property, effects on the image of the city for decades. But these effects were child's play compared to Adam's sin. The entrance of sin into human experience and the entrance of sin to God's perfect world. What was the effect of sin on humanity? Well, again, it was not just one effect. There were many effects. Man became guilty of breaking God's law, deserving eternal death as penalty for our sin. Man became a slave to sin. Men cannot free themselves from obeying sin and Satan. Humanity became polluted and defiled by sin. We are unclean before a holy God, and our conscience echoes that truth. And we were separated from God, alienated, an enemy of God, no longer a friend. And today this human dilemma of alienation continues, and people find themselves estranged from spouses, estranged from family, estranged from community, lonely, excluded, hostile. But a greater problem of alienation exists. It's alienation from God. Well, here's what happened, and we read it in Genesis 3. Let me turn there. This is on page 2 of the Bibles in back. So Adam and Eve had just sinned. They're in the garden, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called out to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree which I commanded you not to eat?" Well, there'd been a routine of God and Adam and Eve regularly spending time together, connecting, fellowshipping, communing, but now post-sin, when Adam hears God coming, he runs and he hides. What has changed? Well, sin has estranged Adam. Now he's afraid. I was afraid. He said he's afraid of God. They were friends. They spent time together. But now man is alienated from God. And actually the problem's much bigger. End of the chapter, verse 23. Therefore the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. He drove out the man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden he placed the cherubim and a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. God expels Adam and Eve from the garden, from the place, the perfect place of perfect fellowship with God, because sin is now resident in man's heart. Man is alienated from God, and man is and God is alienated from man. He says to Adam and Eve, in effect, I want you out of here. Well, today, that's what we're going to look at, the problem of alienation. The cause is sin. The solution is reconciliation through the death of Christ. Verses 21 and 22. And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. Once you were, and you who once were alienated and hostile in mind. So God initiates the reconciliation. We see that back in verse 20. God was pleased through him, that is through Jesus, to reconcile to himself all things. The means of reconciliation is the blood of the cross. Verse 20, making peace by the blood of the cross. The object of the reconciliation is cosmic, because it says through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven. All things, not just man. All things, because all things have been affected by sin and the curse on the world. Remember God said, and we looked at this last time, cursed is the ground, cursed is the creation because of you, because of your sin. So sin and the curse have affected all things, but God won't just let it be forever. He will not leave the world disrupted, but he will restore all things one day, and the means is Jesus Christ, his death on the cross. Well, now, we've already looked at verse 20, the reconciliation of all things. Now, today, we look at verse 21, and you, we get direct and personal, and you, verse 20, through him to reconcile to himself all things. Verse 21, and you he has now reconciled in his body. So in God's salvation, is God's salvation, Christ's reconciliation, just directed generally to all things, the universe? Well, no, he zeroes in now and says, and you. That is such good news. Christ came for you. God sent his son for you and you. Jesus took a human body for you. Christ died in his body of flesh for you. Because God would not let you stay alienated, hostile to him. He will reconcile you, and you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, he has now reconciled. I wonder, Christian, I wonder if sometimes you wonder if he cares. I wonder if you wonder if he will let you come near. Do you wonder if he will forgive you again? Well, write these words, and you, And you write these words on the back of your hand. Write these words on the mirror in your bathroom at home. Write these words on your screensaver. And you. Well, we have here a look back. And you who once were alienated. Once you were, this was your former condition. This is the human native condition. Every man by nature, you were alienated, hostile in mind, doing evil deeds. Now, it's what you were, Christian, not what you are before God got a hold of you. So what were you? Well, in mind, you were alienated and hostile. You who once were alienated and hostile in mind. So you were estranged, you were disconnected from God due to sin in the garden. You were distanced from God. Now, he doesn't say explicitly there you were alienated from God, but Ephesians 4:18 tells us you were alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. The effect is that we are not at all comfortable with God. Once. God frightens sinners. God frightens man, and he makes them want to shrink back and hide. They're not comfortable being close to God. Now, this word alienated, it implies that it was not always so. You once were alienated. It's something happened. And it's like somebody took a sledgehammer and took it to the soundboard of a piano, your heart, and it still plays, but it's not in tune anymore. It makes sounds, but they're so discordant and dissonant. And if you try to play the piano with the band, it is not in harmony at all. And so man is no longer in harmony with God. He is not in tune with God. Once you were alienated. And not only alienated, but hostile. Hostile. Enemies to God. God bothers us. That he would impose his requirements on us. That he would authoritatively command us, even though it's for our good. Who is God to command? This bugs me. We want, natively, as sinners, we want to assert ourselves, not be humble. We want to be sexually promiscuous, not pure. We want to be bitter and hold on to our grudges, not forgiving. We want to be angry, not self-controlled. We are in conscious antagonism to the God who is hostile in mind. And the heart of the issue is in the mind. Alienated and hostile in mind. That's what it says in Romans 1:21, right? Their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. It's hard to see when it's dark inside. The sinners are cut off from the light of God, from his word, from loving his good moral law, so that everything gets obscured and shadowy and distinct. And I no longer can see the difference between right and wrong. I can no longer see the difference between the God who speaks and my thoughts about who God is. And so there is alienation from God, hostility towards God in the mind, and that inevitably spills out into what we do. And you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds in our minds and then in our actions. You know, a murderer was first an angry man. Sin starts in our heart and then shows up in our actions. We may try to keep our sins confined to thoughts and desires, but the animal of sin is not so easy to corral. It jumps fences and it escapes out gates. It is wild and unruly. It is strong and uncontainable. So what we thought we would never do becomes what we do, and eventually becomes what we habitually do. We end up with a lifestyle of doing evil in this or that area. You see, sin is never static in our lives. It is always taking us somewhere, often where we don't want to go. And this is what distances us from God. Alienated and hostile in our minds, doing evil deeds. This is the problem. But for the Colossian Christians, it is what they once were. We read in verse 22 then, we move on. And you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death. Once you were, now he has reconciled you. Now, that's interesting, isn't it? Because you would expect it to be said a little differently, right? You would expect, once you were, but now you are. The contrast between your two states, once you were, but now you are. And that is true. But that's not how Paul says it, because he has something even more important to say rather than just the contrast between what you were and what you now are. What he wants to say is not just about you, but what he wants to say is about what God has done. It's not that you now are reconciled, but that he, God, has reconciled you in Jesus Christ. Spotlights on God. Attention directed to God. The result for me is awesome, but he has reconciled me. And only God could reconcile. Man didn't want to reconcile. He was running from God. He was hiding from God. He was ignorant and distant from God. He was not looking for God. He was not looking to return to God. And even if he did want to, he could not appease God for the wrongs committed. God's rightful anger and justice because of sin. Man couldn't turn that relationship around. The chasm between came from the problem of sin. How do I undo sin? Sin was a finger in the eye of God. Sin was spitting in his face. Sin is blatantly blowing off God's godness, his right to be God to his creatures. Man's not going to fix it. Only God could reconcile man. The cost was too high for me to pay. And no one else could love so much, could stoop so low, could give so much for a rebel. He has now reconciled. Well, how? How did he do it? How did this reconciliation happen? He is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death. Why does it say body of his flesh? Well, because back in verse 18, it was talking about his body, the church. He wants you to be perfectly clear that it is his human body, his body of flesh, that he's speaking of. And through his human body, a body that could suffer, a body that could die, that the work was done of reconciliation. So Jesus Christ, the sinless one, came to take our place, the sinful ones. He came to bear our sin, to pay for our sin, to suffer for our sin, to become our sin. And when he died in his body of flesh, he fully satisfied God's holy requirements for us. He paid the penalty for our sins, leaving us with a spotless record before God, removing God's just anger toward us, removing the obstacles in our relationship to God, taking out the distance that was separating us and God. He reconciled us in his body of flesh by his death. In verse 20, it talks about Christ reconciling, well, it says, and through him to reconcile to himself all things. That was his purpose in his death. But that's future, right? That will happen. That reconciliation will happen in the new heavens and new earth when Christ restores all things. But the time here is different, right? It says he has now, for you, he has now reconciled you in his body of flesh. It's been done, past tense, done in Christ. And it's been done in you who are believers, these Colossian Christians to whom he is speaking. Already, what you were, once you were, is not what you are. The change is dramatic. We ain't perfect, that's for sure. But the change is dramatic. Once you were alienated, hostile, doing evil deeds, but now he has reconciled you. Your relationship to God is completely different. Reconciled. How? In his body of flesh by death. And why? In order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. So this is God's purpose in bringing God and man together. It's to make you holy, to make you blameless, to make you above reproach. When's that going to happen? Well, that work will be completed on the last day, when the final judgment and the summing up of all things in Christ happens and we enter the forever. Then, Ephesians 5:25, Christ who loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy will present her without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. So all of God's purposes of reconciliation, of bringing us back to God, telescope into this, to present us before God as completely holy. Understand that everything God is now doing in your lives, in your life, everything is designed to move us towards that target, to make you holy, blameless, and above reproach in that day. The Word of God is to, you have it so that you can become holy and blameless and without reproach. Suffering in your life is so that you can become holy and blameless and without reproach. Temptation is so that you can become holy and blameless and above reproach. If you resist it, you are stronger. If you fall before it, you need forgiveness. It brings you back to God, knowing who you are, what you're made of. I need Jesus and his blood. It's all designed to make you holy and blameless and above reproach. Prayer, friends, everything God is doing is to make you holy and blameless and above reproach. And this is not all just about our current happiness, though God wants us to be happy, but about our increasing holiness, because that's how we become happy. He wants us to be holy before him, holy before God, holy enough for God. Not just holy enough to meet my standards, it's good enough, it'll pass. It's in the median. Holy enough before God. This is God's purpose for you. This is why God is doing what he's doing in your life. Is this your purpose for you? Are you working towards the same thing that God's working towards? Or do you want to hold on to your sin? Do you want to hold on with selfish preoccupation with money? Do you want to hold on to pursuing image and success and friends and pleasure? Do you want to hold on to bitterness Or do you want what God wants for you? God wants you holy. And that's why he reconciled you to himself in Jesus Christ. Well, there's two issues here in this alienation, right? And the biggest one is that God was alienated from man because of man's sin. God initiated the solution. He sent his son to make peace between God and man through the blood of his cross. God alienated from man. The other issue is that man is alienated from God. Here's the issue of my mindset, my lifestyle. So my question, God has sent his son to bring us to God. How about you? Where do you stand with respect to God? Enemy or friend? Distanced or drawing near? Angry at God or wanting, loving, drawing near God? And I appeal to you, in Paul's words from Corinthians that Jim read for us, I appeal to you on God's behalf, because this is God's work. I appeal to you on God's behalf. He sent Christ into this world to reconcile sinners to himself, to bring you to God. So where are you today? Running? Hiding? Oh, come to this God who lives. Come to this God who gives. Come to this God who offers you peace through Jesus Christ and his cross. Come to this God who offers you forgiveness, all your sins gone, and a new relationship with Christ. I implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Stop fighting, stop hiding, stop running, stop keeping your distance. Come to Jesus Christ and find your peace with God. Let's pray.